listeners, we have a favorite and frequent guest on the phone with us this morning with some updates on flu. Dr. Shelley Gilroy, good morning.
Good morning, Trisha.
Dr. Gilroy is an infectious diseases expert and professor of medicine at Upstate. So, Dr. Gilroy, the flu, do you feel like you've had flu up to your eyeballs at this point?
Yes, pretty much.
I'm sure you do. And I know you must get a million questions all the time. But my first question for you is, are we seeing a lot of flu locally?
Yes, but this is not unexpected because this is usually the week we start seeing patients coming in with symptoms for seasonal flu.
It is. Okay.
Yes.
So do you know yet whether you're seeing the seasonal or the swine flu?
Right now, the majority of the infections are all swine flu.
They
there haven't been any that are seasonal at this time.
All right. And you're testing to find that out?
Well, they're doing some testing at the CDC, and from the testing that the CDC does, they have informed us that so far most of the strains in the United States, majority of them are all due to the swine origin flu.
Okay, they are. All right.
Yes.
Let's talk about what those symptoms would be, because I think there's some confusion. People have allergies, and they're afraid they have the flu. They might have a cold. They're afraid they have the flu. So let's talk about what those symptoms would be.
Symptoms are a fever, 100 degrees or greater, associated with one or more of the following symptoms, such as a runny nose, sore throat, cough, muscle aches, and joint aches.
Okay.
You can get some nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, which is something new, which we don't normally see with seasonal flu.
You don't. Okay. So if somebody has that nausea and vomiting and so forth, is that a pretty good indication that it's the swine flu and not the seasonal flu?
No, you have to have a combination of factors. So just nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea without the other symptoms that I mentioned could be due to something else.
Okay. All right. So here's the question. Does it really matter which one is which? I mean, if you have flu-like symptoms, does it matter what you call it?
No, it doesn't. But the majority of the flu symptoms that people are having right now are due to the swine origin. The majority of people, though, that get this infection, it's very similar to seasonal flu, and majority of people do get better. The only concern is there is a small subset of patients where they don't get better and they go on to develop more severe symptoms.
They do. So at what point should somebody be calling their doctor?
Well, if your fever, you have a fever initially, and then it goes away, and then it starts to come back.
Okay.
If you start having shortness of breath or chest pains, then you really need to call your doctor and see if you need to get in to see them or show up at an emergency room.
Okay. All right. So I guess the question is, if I'm starting to have some flu-like symptoms, should I be trying to get to my doctor to get one of the drugs that will help allay those symptoms, or should I just be staying home and eating my chicken soup?
If you're an otherwise healthy person without any chronic medical diseases, for example, chronic lung disease, asthma, or if you're not on any immunosuppressive therapies, then you don't need to take the antiviral medication. They're recommending that the antiviral medication should be taken by people that have problems with asthma or chronic lung diseases and develop symptoms.
So,
because those are the people that are at risk. If they don't get treated, they could go on to develop some of the severe symptoms.
Okay. And, you know, I have to think that it's better, if you're otherwise healthy, it's better not to be flooding the doctor's office and making room for those people.
Yes, exactly. Room for the people that really need to be seen.
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Well, you know, I'm somebody who's out there on the internet. I write a lot about swine flu things and seasonal flu things that really aren't the medical side, but therefore I get a lot of very strange questions and some that are just curiosity. So is it okay with you if we run through some of those questions?
Sure.
All right. Well, one of them is, say I had flu symptoms last week and I was really down and out for the count. Do I need to get the flu vaccine?
Yes, I would still recommend getting it because unless you've been diagnosed with it, for example, you had the swab taken and they did find out by the testing that you had the swine origin flu, it is still recommended to get both seasonal and the swine flu vaccine if you can.
It is. And so it doesn't really matter even which of the flus I had. I can still get those vaccines,
yes,
can't I?
Okay. And it is recommended that you do that.
Okay. Now, we're hearing that some people who are over certain ages, maybe they're in their 50s or their 60s or older, they might have some immunity to the swine flu but not the seasonal flu. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
That's possible. The hypothesis for that is that these people over the age of 60 were probably around during the time when we had the swine flu outbreak back in the 1970s and the 1960s, and they may have developed some antibodies toward that strain of virus back then, which might have similar traits to the same strain that we have now.
I see. All right. So it could be an immunity or it could not be.
Right.
You really can't tell. So
no.
It's probably once you get to that point. Now, older people right now are not in one of the high-risk groups for the vaccine, as I understand it.
For the swine flu vaccine.
That's
they
right.
They still need to get the seasonal flu vaccine.
Right, because they are two very different things,
exactly.
Aren't they? Okay. All right, so here are some more of those questions that I've gotten from other folks. One question is, if you think you may have had the H1N1 swine flu previously, is there a way to be tested now to know whether or not that's what you had?
No, not really. The best way to get tested is during the time they're having symptoms.
Okay.
And they did test some people. There were some studies looking at that, and they found that people that were exposed back then do not have adequate antibodies to protect them from this strain.
Okay.
So it is recommended that even if you had it back in the 70s, you should get the H1N1 vaccine if you fall under the category of people that really needs to get it.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Now, here's another one. Can you get swine flu from touching money?
Yes. It is droplet spread, so it's
okay.
Large droplet. Anything that gets contaminated with droplets of swine flu can be a source of someone touching that surface. And if they forget to wash their hands and touch their eyes, nose, or mouth, then they can get infected.
They can. All right. So if that money gets passed on to you, I suppose you could. So the key really is, once again, just to keep your hands washed and not to touch your nose or your eyes or anywhere around your mouth if you've been touching other objects.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And one more quick one, because we've only got a few seconds. Can you get swine flu from eating fruits or vegetables?
No, there isn't any cases that have been caused by eating pork or any products at
okay.
this time.
All right. Although, if somebody, once again, just like touching money, if somebody's been poking around in the produce section at the supermarket, once again, you just want to make sure that you're washing those fruits and vegetables and washing your hands as well.
Yes.
Very good. Well, Dr. Shelley Gilroy, I think we could go on for an hour. But
we could.
Yes, we absolutely could. We thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
You've been very busy.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up. Well, dear fellow experimenters in living, at our house, one of the thrills of Halloween is dumping all that candy out on the floor and sorting it. Milky Ways, Snickers, M&M's, Twizzlers, Chocolate Kisses, little chocolate bars, little dark chocolate bars, little chocolate bars with peanuts, little chocolate bars with almonds. Guess you know who likes chocolate. This year, I didn't even have to go out to collect it. Just turned over the candy hander outer bowl that I made sure we'd have lots of extra stuff in after the last of the trick-or-treaters disappeared into the dark and stormy night. After a little feast, I got to thinking about the other big Halloween thrill of putting on a costume and playing it being something different, somebody different than we usually are. And I thought, you know what? We don't need to wait for Halloween to do that. We can try on a new identity anytime we want. Let me give you an example. My identity as Rich O'Neill has never had negotiating for compensation as a big part of it. People ask me to do things, and typically I just say yes. But this past week, a friend and colleague emailed me and asked me to do some work, something we'd have a lot of fun doing. But I actually noticed this was a chance to try on a new identity, different from Rich the friend who likes to help friends, and different from Dr. Neckup, the psychologist and colleague who empathizes with wanting to get the work done, Rich O'Neill, the businessman, who asks for something in return beyond fun, to pay the college tuition, etc. Anyway, while I was thinking about how to do this, I paid attention to all the little voices in my head discouraging me from trying out this new behavior, a bunch of what we psychology types call negative predictions, thoughts that something bad will happen if you do this or that. In this case, they'll think you're greedy, or they'll be offended and say, forget it, we'll get somebody else. And even though I knew in my Dr. Neckup the psychologist identity that those kind of thoughts just naturally pop up whenever we try something new, it wasn't easy to reply with those words, of course I'd love to do it, but before I say yes, is this a paying job? I had to remind myself that I couldn't tell the future, didn't know how they'd respond, and gather my courage, move aside my embarrassment, a feeling that often also pops up when we're shedding our old skin and trying on some new colors, and get curious about what might happen in this experiment. Anyway, I haven't found out yet, but either way, I discovered something more important than the pennies, nickels, and dimes at the bottom of the candy bag. That sense of excitement that comes with reinventing ourselves. And I like that almost as much as chocolate. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for tuning in.